Thank you. As you see from the co-authors that we have, many. So myself, Meng Menggu, my grad student Heidi, Erfang, Mike Merchant, Zina Wang, Yan Chen, and Jim Robbins, and actually many more. And I'm going to show some of their pictures at the end. So I'm going to start with this one, Acanthococcus lagostromia. So you probably think this is a pest on lagostromia, crepe myrtles, and that is true. Back in the 2013, you know, when we visited Beijing Botanic Garden in the winter, saw this really bad problem. We knew that we had this issue in Texas, but I just didn't know that it would be this bad, that it will overwinter in Beijing, where it's kind of like zone 6, so that caught my attention. What you see is this one doesn't have a whole lot of scale, but you see those white dots on the bark, and those things could potentially cover up a large portion of the bark. It even just cover it all. Basically, that's what you look at the heavy infestation. I'm gonna go through this since I think we have very limited time. So this is just sometimes how bad these things go. This is what it looks like. That one, it doesn't take long. Probably just even one growing season, you'll see like stems covered all up. And then the smaller ones are the little sesame seeds are the males. And then slightly bigger, fatter ones are the females and they lay eggs inside. Probably 200 to 300. That's from the literature. And then those crawlers emerge from the egg sac and start to crawl around and find a place to settle down, and start to have those velvety filaments develop on them. That's when they become sessile. The little pink crawlers are mobile versus once they develop that white velvety covering, that they become immobile and they just start getting their and feed in. And that's what you look when you poke open a egg sac. That's what it looks like. One thing that tells us this is how this is different from, let's say, a mealybug. It bleeds pink. That confirms the live overwintering the crepe myrtle bark scale. It has the potential to infest on many crepe myrtles, and crepe myrtle is a zone 6 and warmer plant, but it's root hardy all the way to zone 5. That's what the dashed line is showing there. And interesting enough that two nurseries in Oregon, two wholesale liner suppliers in Oregon, that they have their own breeding, of crepe myrtles. So crepe myrtle is not only just a popular landscape plant in the South, but also it's getting more and more popular in the North. So what those stars shows, those are the states that has confirmed. A sighting of crepe myrtle bark scale, including the state of Washington, D.C. No, not Washington, D.C., but Washington State. This is really a relatively newly confirmed pest. It was confirmed in 2014 with morphological and molecular tools that, we could tell that was different from the native azalea bark scale. For a long time that we weren't able to tell it apart. So here's why, I guess this slide explained to you why I'm here. I'm talking about a crepe myrtle bark scale, and why am I at this fig workshop. And of all these different documented alternative hosts of crepe myrtle bark scale, if you look at number 8, and that's Ficus carica here. So this is I would say this is an emergent pest for Ficus carica. We on this list we have been two of the three genus that we have been focusing on. Of course, one is Lagerstromia genus, and second is pomegranate. That's Punica granatum. So that those are the two important in that seven. In number seven, there in Lathraceae family. You know, those are two pretty important plants that in this documented list. So we kind of confirmed those two pests. And by accident, if you look at number 14, it was kind of just during our work here by observation that we got a report from Texas A&M Forest Service. Say, hey, you know, we found this this thing, this Calicarpa americana, American beautyberry, right next to our one of our infested crane myrtle tree, and it's getting on the this native American beautyberry. So Calicarpa has been our third genus that to work on. So basically what we did was you know, we tied a little twig of infested crane myrtle scale, a crane myrtle twig with the scale. We tied on different you know, species in Lagerstromia, in Punica, Punica mainly, that's the Punica granatum, but we collected about 20 cultivars of Punica. And then we also, for Calicarpa, we collected, we had a Calicarpa americana that already been confirmed in the landscape. We have Calicarpa dichotoma, the Chinese one, Calicarpa mexicana, and also Calicarpa salicifolia. So these four species. Sadly, I'm reporting to you that all these that we have been successfully infested the scale on. So for instance, the Lagerstromia, Indica, Speciosa, Limii, Subcostata, Forii, Guilliensis. So, you know, so the Ficus is actually the next one that we think that's a very important one that, you know, that's the next genus that we're going to work on. So those are some of the very important horticultural crops, you know, in this big list of alternative hosts of CMBS. So just give you an idea, and you know, this is books of some of in zones 4 or 6 myrtles, Turnstromia, very popular shrub, ornamental plant, Malus, Rubus, Diospyros cocci, Glassy Max, and Ficus. Well, that shows the range, but if you look at the southeast, the introduced area, the southeast United States, that all those states really lap very well with the states that, you know, CMBS has already been confirmed. And then Lagerstrom. So you can see that these plants, well, I'm going to have more. Oh, by the way, this is that little location that we first, this is that little location in Texarkana, Texas, where we first confirmed the infestation of the crane myrtle bark scale on beautyberry. It just that very close proximity. And then we confirmed it again in the landscape setting in Shreveport, Louisiana. So in addition to those, you know, American beautyberry, pomegranate, we confirmed in greenhouse settings that the scale could successfully complete their life cycle on Lawsonia, on Hymia, and Lythrum. So as you can see, I included a lot of these the maps from USDA NRCS. So you know, these plants that could serve as host of crane myrtle bark scale really provide a continuum for, you know, really provide a continuum for infestation. I don't know whether you could see it here. Some of the white dots on these stems, these are the scales, that those are the scale that the X-axis. So these are just additional lithium that we haven't tried, but these are you know, out there, either in the landscape trade or exotic invasives. So again, just another map showing the sighting, the map of the sighting of CMBS. The effect of the the impact of the scale is that this is one of the, it's just single tree treatment that that one of our collaborators was doing. Is one crane myrtle plant was treated and the other one was not treated, and this shows the number of crawlers that we collected. And as you can see, that it's definitely affecting the plant growth, the health, the aesthetics. And this shows that in the second year, in the following spring, that the treated, leafed out much earlier than the untreated, and there are a lot of dead twigs in between, in the inner canopy. So these are some of the crane myrtle bark scale monitoring stations. We're monitoring, the peaks and the downs, the valleys of how many scale the crawlers are on the plants. We use a sticky tape, really just double-sided sticky tapes that wrapped on the tree, and then the crawlers will crawl on those things. We collect those weekly, and then bring them back to the lab and count how many crawlers that we get. So we normally get a big peak in May. So this is one experiment that we did, and then we get one in July, and sometimes we get one in fall. So this is in College Station, and this is in different places in East Texas, Tyler, Texas, Huntsville, that's southeast, just north of Houston, in College Station in Dallas. So you can see that it varies, but there are about three peaks, May, July, and in the fall, October. And that's with more locations in Little Rock and Louisiana. There are some beneficials, but I'm going to go straight. But as you can see on this one, they come when where the food is. So they, when they come, the plants has already been heavily infested. There has been association with ants, lots of association with ants. And looking at this one, this ant is moving this scale. It's right here. It's moving that scale. That's some of my beneficials. Just lots of ants, if you look close to that, lots of ants. They really don't mind the freeze. We had a 30 temperature drop in January 2017 in College Station, and I checked, they were still alive. I'm going to go straight to this. These are some of our team members on this, and this project has been funded by all these entities, and especially two of the USDA, CPPM, and SCRI projects. In addition, I did not cover a whole lot, but one of my co-authors is presenting this chemical control of the scale tomorrow in KINS 2. Thank you. Thank you.